Will you rise for the reading of our scripture as we read from Matthew chapter 2 this morning? In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and also pay him homage.' And when they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. How many of y'all have already taken down your Christmas trees, your Christmas lights, things like that? Yeah. As we move into the final days of the Christmas season, like I said before, I think we're on the eighth day of Christmas right now. We move into a season where it's easy to kind of move past our nativity stories. For the last month or two, we've had kind of bundled under Christmas trees or on coffee tables and windowsills. We've had our sort of our mashed up nativity scenes. We've had our shepherds and our wise men and our donkeys and cows and our angels and our mangers, and it's been very scenic. And we want to take for a moment and really just kind of focus on the story of the three wise men. We want to kind of peel them away from our nativity just for a minute, because I feel like when we think about the story, we read about this story, we have an opportunity of really understanding the reach and the depth of which God is willing to go to reach people, to reach us. Out of the Gospels of Luke, we get stories of this intimacy of God as angels appear in temples and homes and in dreams and to shepherds and at fields. And God is willing to reach down and to speak to and announce and proclaim to the very lowest of the society, to the shepherds. The night shift workers are the first to hear that Jesus is born just around the corner in a manger and swaddling clothes. And as we experience the story in the Gospel of Matthew, we have a very different kind of reach, a much further reach, as there's these wise men, these magi from the east. And it doesn't exactly say where or when, and there's a lot of traditional stories about what their names could be and what they were and where they were coming from. But what we do know is that they paid attention, whoever they were, because there was a star that began to rise on that horizon. And because they were paying attention, they knew somewhat what this star represented. Enough to pack their bags, to form probably a caravan to help protect the wealth and the treasures that they were carrying with them, to travel to the capital to find this king. As our story reads, these wise men came into Jerusalem, and they don't even go to the palace necessarily. They're expecting this festival almost. They're expecting this excitement of this king that's been born. They almost expect, you get a sense from the story, that people will know what they're asking about when they say, "Where can we find the king that was born? Because we observed his star at its rising." But they're not greeted with festivals and excitement. They're not greeted with parties and people cheering. They're greeted with confused looks and really a little bit of anxiety and fear as the news travels around that these dignitaries, these scientists, these astrologers, these wise men have come searching for a king that they say has been born. They're not even of the right faith. They don't even know what city to go to. And as Herod hears that these wise men, these dignitaries, these nobles have come, he begins to quake with fear. Our scripture says that he and all of Jerusalem with him are terrified. He calls for the chief scribes of the people. And Herod asks where the king is supposed to be born. And they are the ones to tell him, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. I got a chance to go to the Holy Land this last February, and every time that I've read this story before, it almost seemed like the wise men sort of made this big detour as they went to Jerusalem, and then they had to kind of hang a left and then go down to Bethlehem. When really the distance that we'd be talking about here to go from the temple in Jerusalem to the Church of the Nativity, where it's traditionally believed that Jesus was born, does anybody have any idea how far that would be? It's about 4 miles. Now, there's a good bit of hills. It's a hilly 4 miles, but 4 miles, 7.1 kilometers, just a detour. And yet Herod, when he calls the wise men, it says he secretly calls these wise men into his chamber. And he asks them when exactly this star appeared. The king of the country, of the faith, that's supposed to be paying attention, has missed all the signs. And they have to ask these three foreigners about when it happened and what it means. And then, in Herod's terror, as frightened as he is, he doesn't even go the 4 miles with them to the house to where this child can be found. He tells them to go to find him and then to come back and tell him. He doesn't send an official or an authority. He doesn't send a soldier. He doesn't send anybody from the court. He doesn't go himself. He sends them to go and to find the child first. And as these wise men, as these astrologers, as these foreigners, they turn towards Bethlehem. It says that they continue to follow the star until it settles over the place where the child was. And you'd think at this point that there might be some doubt that begins creeping in, that as these men came from the east, and whether they had a caravan or whether they were by themselves, they're moving towards what they believe to be a king, something royal, official, something exciting and mighty. And they're turned into this shepherding town in the suburbs and the outskirts of Jerusalem. And they come to a home which is probably unremarkable in every way. And you'd imagine even maybe a little disappointing. But it says that when they came to the place where the child was, they weren't disappointed. It says that they were overcome with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. And the one that they found wasn't in a palace, and he wasn't wrapped in silk and robes and purple. Instead, it was a small child being held by his mother, Mary. And they knelt down and they paid him homage. They paid him tribute. As they opened up gifts, everything that you can imagine that they brought with them, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, everything that they could offload off their donkeys and their camels, and whatever animals that they brought with them to just give to this child sitting in this house. Because they saw something that was so different than what they expected. And yet, when they looked upon the face of this tiny baby, the Savior, they found the destination that they'd been moving towards. They were the ones paying attention. They were the ones that saw all the signs, that were willing to go down those off-beaten tracks and to find something unexpected. And the king, the city, the scribes, they had missed all the signs. They had missed the story and gotten it wrong completely. And yet it's these three that come from far away that truly give us the first example that the ministry of Jesus is not just for those who are the closest to him. It's not just the ones that believe the right way and live the right way and live in the right places, but the ministry of Jesus is for those over our horizons as well. It's for those that don't always think the same way. It's for those that don't always dress the same way. It's for those that they don't always believe the same way either. And yet Jesus Christ still appeared and came and calls to them and draws them to him. It is a story of the reach of God that applies to every one of us. We've each been on a road and a journey with God. And we might have been disappointed with the destinations that we found along the way. We might have experienced that doubt that has not received its answers yet. That grief and that loss that tears at us and makes us wonder if God is so cruel or even there at all. And we might have become disappointed and frustrated at the destinations we keep finding on this journey. That we've been promised that we'll find a king. And yet so far, we've been led to unlikely places that have given us no satisfaction at all. We might struggle with all the right beliefs. We might struggle with not knowing all the right scriptures. And I believe this story tells us that that's okay. That before all of that, God is just interested in guiding us towards him. And God will do whatever God needs to get us there. Because we will go to the wrong cities and the wrong places, and we will talk to the wrong people, and we will have the wrong information. And yet God will somehow find a way to keep directing us to him. So then what happens when we find God? And we have that experience. That moment to where we know that God loves us and has appeared for us, has forgiven us, and desires for us to be in a relationship with him. How does our life then become different? My favorite line out of this whole story is the very last verse. That after being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. See, in the Gospel of Luke, the angels always appeared to the people in the dreams before things happened, before Jesus arrived and showed up. This time, the angel kind of waits till after they find Jesus, but they're warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, and they go back to their own country by another road, a different road. So when I think about the way that we move into 2017, the way that we've lived through 2016, what is going to be that different road, that other road that we can take that's going to help us avoid the distraction, the manipulation, and the disruption that came with that road that we were on before? What's that shortcut that we can help move past where our attitudes have gotten hung up? Where our health has gotten hung up, where our finances have gotten hung up, where we've gotten so frustrated that we've got stuck. And now we have an opportunity in a brand new year to take a different road, a new road into the journey that God is taking us. There's an attitude, there's a practice, there is a habit that has been hanging us up. There is a small change that we can take to eliminate a disruption, to avoid somebody who's manipulative or negative, to refocus ourselves, to be ones who are positive, to be encouragers. This is the time of the year that we make resolutions. But I don't want this different road, this new road that we take on this journey with God, to be a resolution that we make, but rather a relationship. A new covenant and a commitment. To seek after and to live after a God that's just a little bit different than we are expecting. To take a different road into a community or a ministry that we've been thinking about but haven't yet explored. To adopt a new daily practice. To read the scriptures more. To pray more. To get together with friends and colleagues at work more and to pray or to read the Bible. A new practice or a new road. Because I believe we don't get the story of what happened when the wise men went back home, but I believe that they carried a story with them. I believe that this new road that they started out on was the new road for the rest of their lives. I believe that they told people about the king that they found. I think they told people about the child that they gave these treasures to. I think they told a story about a king that they had to avoid and a warning that they received in a dream. I believe that they began to live differently. I believe they probably began to pay more attention to the signs that were around them. As they remembered year after year, that one adventure that started with a pinprick and a bright light on the horizon, that they were just bold enough and just ready enough to take, to find what was underneath it. We have a new opportunity this year to start on a new road. But we don't stop going with others. We go as a church family. We go with friends and family members around us. We go as a community. We go as ones who have taken vows to support each other, to pray for each other. Because the adventure that we are going on, this road that we are taking, is not one that others have not gone down before. There is a whole cloud of witnesses that surround us and encourage us every time we take a step out on faith. We've got scriptures that tell stories upon stories of those that took one step towards God, and God handled everything else. We don't always have to know the destination that's on the journey that God is taking us. But we do know that God is on the journey with us. And God will do everything God can to get us to where we need to go. As we experience Holy Communion, a meal, we experience more than just a piece of bread and a touch of juice. We experience more than just a meal as a church family, but we tie ourselves into a story of the way that God has come down for us. We tie ourselves into a story of everything that God has done for us. And we remember that the way and the journey is not always easy. But we are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful and to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. On this Sunday, we remember wise men that took a journey. We remember a star that was in the sky that guided them to a future that was uncertain. And yet when they came face to face with God, they were changed. So much, in fact, that they returned to their home by a different road. May this mark the beginning of a different road for us. And that same baby that they found in the house with his mother became a man who grew up, and he walked among us, and he taught, and he healed, and he performed miracles, and he still performs miracles today because he lives in our midst.